bless each and every one tonight. It's good to be gathered in the house of the Lord. And in the name of the Lord, praise God. The Lord bless each one. And we just want to thank everyone for the prayers at this time. And, I'm sure for Brother John here and Bobby and my father and Eileen and Mary and Florence, that it's hard, you know, when you lost your mother. It's hard, but you know, it's wonderful. You know, two years ago when I, you should maybe see it for a moment, you know, when I came back from Australia the last time, not this time, but the time before, that's about 2 years ago, and I had to do a funeral, and it was a hard funeral to do because the man hung himself, and he wasn't saved that I knew of, and I had talked with him, but he'd never made a clear-cut decision for the Lord, and that was really a hard funeral to do, and they'd left instructions as well. He wanted me to do the funeral, but he didn't want me to say too much, but I don't need long, really, and nobody does, you know, to say the gospel, and I spoke at his funeral, and what can you say when a man, you know, all I could say is we're trusting for the best, but we don't know. But the question was for those that remained, they can know. But this time, you know, to do my grandmother's funeral, it was a blessing because I knew she was saved. And I'll tell you something, when you're saved, and not only is it a wonderful thing here now, but when you do come to cross, and if the Lord doesn't come for us, and we do come to that place where we have to face death, it's great when you're saved. And you can say without Paul the Apostle, absent from the body, present with the Lord. But please continue to pray for all the family at this time as well. The Lord comfort them, and pray for Keith Anderson as well. He's in the hospital. Pray for Brother Keith. And I'm not sure if everyone knew or not, but Brother James was in hospital. They weren't sure what was wrong with him. His throat swelled up and his mouth and things. And I was able to go last night with Brother Edris and pray for him. And he's home today. So we just thank God for the Lord's mercy. Amen. Amen. And you know, I've been blessed when I've been away. Oh, at least 30 people that I know of got saved. And a lot of people healed. And you know, when I was at the funeral the other day, it was great, you know, because there was two men there that I'd led to the Lord. And they're going on with God. And one of them came to the Lord one night in the schoolhouse, Big Martin. Most of you know Big Martin. And he's going on with the Lord. And then Big Davey came to the Lord after the service one night up when I lived in Brook Grove. He came to the Lord another night. And you know, if you were to sit down and count all the people that's came to the Lord, there's a brave lot of people that's got saved. But we want to see more saved. We want to see our families coming in. And you know, I've been encouraged that, especially with a wee man again that I met in New Zealand. He says, tell the devil he's not getting them. Pray for them. Claim them. And you know, we have that right as a people of God to claim what's ours, praise God. Didn't Brother Branham say all that you love, all that's dear to you, claim them, believe for them. Amen. And thank God for his mercy tonight, praise God. Well, I want tonight to return to Hebrews. You can remain seated. Hebrews chapter 1, and I want to try and you know, when I say go through the book of Hebrews, you know, I did preach a little bit on it before I left, and I don't know how long it would take to do it all, but we've started here tonight anyway. We'll see how the Lord leads over the next services. I might not preach on it in every service, but I certainly want to start the night on the book of Hebrews, and it just blessed me. The book of Hebrews has blessed me so much. There's so much in the book of Hebrews which glorifies Christ. Let's read from verse 1, Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, having these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Our loving Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you tonight that we can bow before you in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we want to say tonight from the depths of our heart, Lord, we're glad we're saved. We're glad that, Lord, you saved us. We're glad for when you brought us and how you moved every one of us and brought us to the saving knowledge of the truth. We thank thee, Lord Jesus, for thy great salvation. We thank thee for the power of the blood, that because of your blood, you blotted out our sins from the memory of Almighty God. No longer to be brought against us no more. We're glad we're free tonight because of your mercy and your grace. Father, I earnestly pray this evening that you'll open the book of Hebrews to us like we have never saw it before. Lord, may we see Jesus Christ in every verse. May we see him, Lord, coming off the pages as it were, living, alive, coming into their meanings, and manifesting himself in the power of the Holy Ghost, I pray, in Jesus' precious name. Father, I ask for all that's been prayed for tonight, pray especially for Keith, that from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet, that he might know the healing power of the Lord. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Father, bless everyone that's here tonight. Pray for John, and I pray for Bobby, and Madan, for Eileen, and Mary. Lord, in Florence, I pray, Lord, you'll bless them and strengthen them in this time and comfort them in this time. And ask for all the family circle, Lord, and especially for those not saved. Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit will go to working upon them and bring them to the saving knowledge of the truth. Oh, Lord, grant it, we pray. We earnestly pray for salvation to come amongst us in a very special way. For Lord, you said, what will it profit a man if he'll gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And Lord, a soul is precious in your sight. Father, bless and undertake tonight. Help us with your word. Lord, just bring up the pages the things what ought to be said. Just have thy way of praying. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the Holy Spirit, and I take it again. I take the blessed Holy Spirit by faith in the name of Jesus Christ. And I thank you, undertake for me. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Now I believe this is a wonderful portion. I don't want to start preaching tonight or anything. I want to try and just take it easy. But I really love these scriptures. There's so many messages in Hebrews, and there's so many wonderful things in Hebrews, but we can see from the very start of our study in these first three verses of Hebrews that straight away it sets out the excellency of the New Testament as superior to the Old Testament. And all of the Old Testament points onto the Lamb that was coming, and the New Testament takes you back to them. And we know that Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New Testament. So it's Christ throughout the whole thing. And I want us to really to see this tonight. It is true that there's an authority in both the Old Testament, and there is an authority in the New Testament. And it says that some dry times God spake through the prophets at various times, at different times, in parts. God did it in parts, but in these last days he's spoken unto us by his Son, not in part but completely. There's a difference. But God gave through the Old Testament stages of revelation. God spoke to them. God used to them. God brought them. But that way was never going to make a man perfect. Because they were always pointing to the ultimate sacrifice. And that ultimate sacrifice was Christ on the cross. And that was going to be the only thing that would bring perfection. That was going to be the only thing that could clear the conscience. All these laws, all these rituals, all these things were but a type of the ultimate what was coming. They were only a shadow. They looked like it, but they weren't the actual complete thing. But they were wonderful. It was still God. And the prophets, it was still God. And these ceremonies, it was still God. And these various rituals and types, it was all God. And all God's plan and all God's purpose. So we know that the Old Testament is still the authority in God's Word. It's still the Word of God. It's still authority. The power of God is still in the Old Testament, just as the New. It's all the Word of God. It's not inferior in that sense. It's absolutely God's Word. And it's written for our admonition and for our encouragement that we can look into this and see Christ. Now, if we're looking into the Bible and we're not seeing Christ, something's wrong. The compass, as Brother Brian preached, something's moved it. And the compass must be refocused and reset. Now, what to get to the end of this tonight, what I want to say, and take various examples. But you'll see that there's an absolute need for the Holy Spirit to come into truth. And I preached in every church, I would say every church. I said this, I felt led of the Lord to say it. I said you cannot receive the Holy Spirit by a doctrine. It is an experience. And you see, Jesus never said, this is the doctrine you need for to have be ready. You know that Matthew 24, he said those that had oil in their lamps. And the oil, you cannot break the scripture, it represents the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And those that had the oil in their lamps were taken. They weren't taken on what knowledge they had. They weren't taken on because somebody, you know, gave them a doctrine. That's not what it was. But there's one thing you learn. When you do receive the Holy Spirit, you receive the Spirit of truth.
Amen.
Not the spirit of error. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And Jesus said you need no man to teach you. For the anointing which you have received will teach you all things. Jesus said when he, the Spirit of truth, is come. John 14. He will lead you. He will guide you into all truth. So we know, if you were to take it in the light of what God's done in these last days, we know God fulfilled scriptures, Malachi, messengers came that turned your heart back. Because we have the Holy Spirit, we believe that. We believe that. You will believe the Word of God when you have the Holy Spirit. God won't deny His own Word.
Amen.
He will not deny His own Word. That's one thing He won't do.
Amen.
But having said that, there's stages with individuals where they're at. And you know when a young fella or young girl gets saved, they won't know everything all at once. But you see, if they're really saved, they're saved. And if they get the Holy Spirit, they're saved. And that's why William Branham said there's rapture and faith in one message. In one message, he said. There's rapture and faith in one message. Because you see, if you get Christ, that's a rapture and faith. You're saying that? It's Christ, the Holy Spirit. When you receive the Holy Spirit, that's what it is. Amen. Praise God for it. Therefore, God has said to speak by the ministers of both. The Old Testament and the New Testament, God spoke through both.
Amen.
It was all God. So when you read the Old Testament, it's still God talking.
Amen.
When you read the New Testament, it's God talking. The scripture was written by holy men of old as they were moved by the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
That's what we need today. We need men moved by the Holy Ghost. Brothers and sisters, we need a revival. Now don't worry about revivals around the world and all the rest of it. We need one here.
Amen.
In our midst.
Yep.
In our own meetings.
Amen.
There's not enough people here. There should be a lot more here. Now, it's only the Spirit of God can move people to come.
Amen.
But I'm going to tell you just like this. I'll say it like this. And this is really simple. If I can use Gary and Ruth for an example. Just for an example. Now, when Gary met Ruth and they started to go out, what would Ruth have thought of him if he wasn't bothered where he saw her or not for a month or two? Now, what would she have thought of him? Would she would have thought, this fellow's a waste of time. He's not really interested in me. I haven't saw him for a month. But you see, if he really loves her, he'd want to see her. And any of you fellows that went court and know what I'm talking about, you'd go every night if you could. Amen?
Amen.
Well, if you weren't like that, something's wrong. But let me say, Brother Branham said it, any red-blooded male. Amen. But you see, when you love a woman, you want to see her. There's a desire to see her. There's a desire to go. You want to be in relationship with her. You can't get enough of that person. And you see, when you're really in love with the Lord Jesus Christ, there's no such thing as too many services. There's no such thing as too many prayer meetings. You cannot spend enough time with the one you love. And David said, restore unto me the joy. That love relationship that he once had with the Lord. And then when God's people fall out in love with the Lord, the least excuse keeps them away. But ultimately it's because they've fallen out of love with the Lord. They can blame the preacher, blame the singing, blame the church. Look, see all that? That's only an excuse. Because you see, if a person's not in love with the Lord, it doesn't matter, you can give them the best preacher, the best songs, all of it, it won't make a difference. They have to fall back in love with the Lord. And I'll tell you, when praying's a secret. Praying. We can never pray enough. We need to be praying without ceasing. That's what the Word of God says. Watch and pray, so when you're driving, you can pray as well. Keep your eyes open when you're driving. But you can pray when you're driving. Watch and pray. Amen? Praise God. God speaking in both. Both reveal the will of God. Both the Old Testament reveals God's will. The New Testament. You remember when I took the messages, the chemistry of the blood, and I showed you that in the Old Testament, God could give them a way to do a lie detector test. How many remembers that? And they put the water in a certain thing they did. They could do a lie detector test. And even the Urim and the Thummim and the high priest's garments, when somebody dreams and so forth, they could do the test. Then in the New Testament, we have the spirit of discerning. Now it's lacking the day badly. But you see, if you don't need any gifts, then you won't have that. Because it's one of them. The gift of discerning the spirits. And we need, that's why we, look brothers, we don't need anything on shelves. We need the full equipment. The full stuff. You know, when I was at the joinery work, I used to wear a pouch. I had the tape in here. The wee, you know, punch in this side, chisel in here. Two hammers have seen my word, maybe a hatchet along with them. You had everything in that pouch, because if you were going in somewhere, you had to be armed. Armed and dangerous, you. But it's the same. The Bible says, put on the full armor of God. You can't put the full armor on if you're stuck on the shelf. Get it off it. Get it on you. Amen. You see, both reveal God's will. God spake in times past. That's what it said in our text. God spake in the last days, the same by the prophets and his sons. See, look at this phrase. God spake. God spake. When did they get this phrase? God spake. It doesn't say Moses spake or Elijah spake. You know, it says God spake. Now God used Moses. God used Elijah. But the problem is, you must see that it's God spake.
Yes.
If you just see the man part, Brother Branham said you can receive the spirit of your pastor. That's what he said. But that won't work. You need the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
But you can see, men can receive another man's spirit, and they become like that man, they preach like him, and they even do the actions like him. But that's not the way God does it. You need the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now I know that Elisha said that he wanted the mantle of Elijah. But you see, when you take that name translates as the Spirit of Jesus Christ. We know that. So don't let the devil run you down that path. It's the Spirit of the Lord we ultimately need.
Amen.
And God spake. And in this 20th century, God spake. It was God that spake. God that spake. And when we preach the gospel, we want God to speak. And if God will speak, things will happen.
Amen.
Look at Exodus 3, verse 2 and verse 6. Praise God. An angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire, that's Moses, out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Verse 6 of Exodus 3. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. God spake to him. This man had a mighty encounter with God. Now, we have so many people in pulpits today, but you know Brother Branham said in one place that a man should never ever get behind a pulpit except he's first met with a pillar of fire. That's what he said. Now, you know it means being filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized with the Holy Spirit. Ultimately, it's a Pentecost experience. That's really what it's about. Listen to this here from the unveiling of God. Notice Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New Testament. See, he's the same God, just changing his form. Now, someone said the other day, a Baptist minister in Tucson, how can you say Jesus and God would be the same person? I said, well, it's very easy if you just let your own thinking get away. And think the Bible terms of it. They are the self-same being. God is a spirit. Jesus is a body that he was veiled in. See. I said, like in my home to my wife, I'm her husband. I have a young daughter, Rebecca. I am her father. And I've got a grandson, and he is Paul. I am his grandfather. I am husband, father, grandfather. And my wife has no claims on me as father or grandfather. She has claims on me alone as husband. And my daughter has no claims on me as husband or grandfather. She has claims as my child, see. But all these three persons is the same person. Amen. That's God, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. It's just the dispensation claims God is the same God. And they're not actually persons. God, there's only one person in the Godhead, that's Christ. God's a spirit. Amen. So you see, when you look at God speaking in the Old Testament, it's the same voice in the New Testament.
Amen.
Then listen, think of this message, God's chosen place of worship. In there, when you listen to that message, Brother Branham says, where did God put his name? His chosen place of worship. Where is it?
Amen.
Not the Baptist Presbyterian. No, he shows us where it is. Now, I'm not saying God's not there. Listen to what I'm saying. God's chosen place of worship's in his Son.
Amen.
Because Jesus came in his Father's name. So the Father's name is placed in the Son. So where you have to meet is in the Son. So it doesn't matter where else you're meeting. If you're not meeting in the name of the Son, you're not meeting in God's chosen place to worship.
Amen.
But if you want to meet in God's chosen place to worship, it can be anywhere at all, where two or three are gathered in my name.
Amen. That's right.
The name of Jesus Christ, I'm in the midst, not the place. So all these other names are not it. The chosen place of worship is the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And God's Son, Jesus Christ, is a chosen place of worship.
Amen.
Praise God. Isn't it the truth?
Amen.
Now when you look at this, you see God speak at some dry times means by many parts, parcels. You know, in portions, God speak.
Yes.
Now what I mean by that is, none of them prophets had the full, complete thing. Because if they did, there'd be no reason for a further testament. But the Bible tells us we were not made perfect by this Old Testament. That's why we needed another.
Amen.
But yet it is still God's word. Don't think it's not God's word. It is absolutely God's word. God could speak to you a word from this Old Testament, heal you upon it. I'm the Lord that heals you. You could take that from the Old Testament. God will heal you. Because I'm showing you tonight that God that spoke in this Old Testament is the exact same one that spoke in the New Testament.
Amen.
But he's brought us to the superior revelation of himself. Of himself now. Not of a denomination, of himself. Jesus Christ, the mystery of God revealed.
Amen.
That means made known. It's of himself. Praise God. Now this really means, when you look at this, some at one time, some at another time. That's what God's saying. In some dry times. Meaning at many times. At some dry times means many different times. God speaks. Not just once. You see, that proves to us. Here's a key. Most of you will know this, but I'm going to say it anyhow. Maybe you younger ones won't know this. But there's keys in the Bible. Here's one. There's a saying, the law of the first mention. It's another thing you can follow in the Bible that can't go wrong. But here's a key. God speaks many different times.
Amen.
Does not prove to you God can still speak. If God never changes, I am the Lord thy God, Malachi 3 verse 6, I change not. God can still speak.
No.
So when somebody says God does not speak today, you know he's a liar. God does speak. God has spoken many different times. In the Old Testament, and he's spoken by some in the New Testament, and then he sends the Holy Spirit. And he spoke through his apostles. And he speaks through genuine men of God. And he speaks through the gifts of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Amen.
That's still God speaking.
Amen.
But you see, many times God made known to Adam a Savior. God foretold Adam that there's going to be a Savior. So God speaks to Adam. Genesis 3 verse 15. I will put enmity between thee and the woman. Speaking to the serpent. And between thy seed and her seed, and a woman doesn't have a seed, but he's prophesying. Because this seed is ultimately Christ. And here in Genesis 3:15, God has prophesied. God is speaking. Now, we're at the start of the Bible now. We're taking this study from Hebrews, the very first chapter. But you're seeing tonight that this whole Bible ties together, dovetails everywhere. And when you go back to Genesis, God is speaking of the Savior. Now, are you saying this as plain as me? Isn't it absolutely suffering that the whole emphasis of the whole Bible pointed to Christ? And yet withal, when a minister preaches about Christ and preaches about the cross, they say he hasn't got much. He has got everything that's in this Bible. That's what the Bible ultimately speaks about. That is the whole revelation of it, is the plan of redemption, the book of Ruth, all these different books, is a perfect, beautiful love story of the plan of redemption. And it's all Christ. Now, why did God send the spirit of Elijah? God did not send the spirit of Elijah in the 20th century to turn us on to some other thing that's not in this book. It was to bring us back to what originally was here. Because Paul says no other foundation can be laid than the one that's laid. You can't build another one. Then you know the pyramid, how it was wider at the bottom. And the seven church ages built right up in the one complete revelation of what? The mystery of Jesus Christ. Revealed. It's all Christ. The whole thing's Christ. I think it's wonderful. And I'll put it, look what he says in chapter 4 verse 4. Now, he tells them this sacrifice is going to come. And then he confirmed the same by a sacrifice from Abel. Though Abel's doing this back then, it is speaking of a further sacrifice.
Amen.
What he's already spoke about in chapter 3 is the seed of the woman, which was Christ, that bruised the head of the serpent at Calvary, which was the devil. Amen. Now in chapter 4 verse 4 it says, and Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of the flock, a fatly nothing thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. And we know that Abel offered a better sacrifice unto God than Cain. The Bible tells us that in Hebrews as well. But it's ultimately speaking of a superior sacrifice.
Right.
Everywhere you read, that's what it's speaking about. Something greater. Now look at Noah. Noah, by the ark, declared that few would be saved. Few would be saved. I mean, this is all God speaking. And in, this is our first chapter. God in some dry times spake. Many different times he spake. So we see he speaks in Genesis 3. He speaks again in chapter 4. Now we're only up a few more chapters. 6, 7, is it? Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God spoke to Noah.
Yes.
Now when God spoke to Noah, can you imagine? How could Noah be right? Now, I want you to really think of this. It's easy for us to read this today and say Noah's right. But you have to get back to Noah's time.
Yes.
And you have to understand they think he's a lunatic.
Mm-hmm.
And you can read, you know, when I preached it and used it, freezing it like, where he's put him, locked himself up in the coffin because it's like a wooden box.
Mm-hmm.
And they accused Noah that he locked the door, but he didn't. God did.
Okay.
God shut him in.
Mm-hmm.
And he shut them out. But you see, God spake to Noah. So also, here's another principle. I've showed you the principle of God spoke once, God spake again. Right? Here's another one. Every time God spoke, it happened.
Amen.
So here's two things that can't be broken in the scripture. They can never, these cannot be, oh, these are absolutes. In the sense that the keys can't be failed. God always will speak. God can still speak. Now I'll show you many different references. We look, this time's gone already, and I'm not even, you know, hardly anywhere. But are you enjoying what we're saying here?
Amen.
Praise God. But these are things that God, look, 1 Peter 3, verse 20. Which sometimes for disobedience, when once the long-suffering God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few that had 8 souls were saved by water. The like figure were under even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You get baptized because you believe. That's why you do it. It's a good conscience. The water doesn't save you. It's a type, it says. But the water did save them then. Now do you see that? It was a type. Amen. And that ark is a type of the person of Christ. That you enter in by the one door. Well, who's the door?
Amen.
I'm the door.
Amen.
Jesus says, I'm the door.
Yes.
By me you may enter in.
Amen.
And Christ is the type of that ark, the place of safety.
Yes.
In the storm.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
It's wonderful. Now to Abraham, God revealed his purpose by extending mercy to all the nations. That's what God did to Abraham. He said, I'm going to extend the mercy. Genesis 21 verse 18. Arise, lift up the lad and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation. God was extending mercy to the nation, but he tells Abraham. God spake.
Yes.
The Lord thy God will do, Amos 3 verse 7. The Lord thy God will do nothing except he first revealeth the secrets unto servants of prophets. Doesn't the Bible say it? And it was an Abraham a prophet. Isn't it wonderful how God works? But it was God that spake. It was ultimately God that spake. Now you remember some dry times by the prophets, but in these last days, by a son. You've brought up closer. Praise God. Genesis 49 verse 10. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. And you see, God spake as well to Jacob, that it was made known by the Messiah should come from the tribe of Judah. God spake that to Jacob, that the Messiah will come from the tribe of Judah. And God foretells it. Genesis is the what? The seed book. Can you see why the devil hates the book of Genesis? And Revelation, he hates him. Look at it says in Hebrews 7 verse 14. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning the priesthood. Boy, you couldn't you just go with that now? He never spake nothing concerning the priesthood, but Christ come out of it. God won't do it the way man thinks. Would you pick a man like William Branham to be a prophet? You wouldn't. His father was a drunkard. His mum was no age. No age at all. When he was born, she was about 15 or something. 16. Right, would you pick him? His people weren't religious. Would you pick Moses? And God saved Moses right into Pharaoh's courts. Hey, and saved him when the rest died, remember?
Yes.
God saved him. I would never pick myself. I told him in Australia and New Zealand. I would never pick myself. When I was in the world and in jail and all them things, I would never have said, this fellow will be preaching one day. I wouldn't have picked myself. But God said, he takes the foolish things of this world, the nobodies. God's not looking for a big body. God's looking for a nobody. If we can only become nobodies, and he's everybody. Amen. Look, Moses, he says to Moses that he's going to raise up a prophet. Deuteronomy 18, verse 18. I will raise up a prophet from among their brethren like unto me, unto thee. This is Christ. This is greater than Moses. This is Christ he's talking about. Amen. And I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him.
Amen.
And Jesus said, I only did what the Father showed me. I do nothing of myself. Well, that be some testimony have we had. I don't do anything, only what he shows me.
Amen.
That's the way we want to try it. Amen. Amen. Christ our example. To David he shall be king. Psalms 2 verse 6. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. And he said a priest also. He said Christ will be a king. And he says Christ will be a priest through David. Psalms 110 verse 4. And the Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now you just read that it didn't come out of the priestly line. Didn't you? In your Bible. No mistakes in this book now. But now I'm showing you that he's a priest after order of Melchizedek. This is a superior priesthood. Them priesthoods never came in with an oath, but Christ came in by an oath. He could swear by no greater. He's bound to his own word. That's what an oath means. By law he's bound to it to keep it. So when you read these words of God, he's bound to it to keep it. Look what he says through Micah, that he should be born in Bethlehem. Micah 5 verse 2. But thou Bethlehem Ephraim, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting.
Amen.
As people say, Jesus wasn't before. There it is. Jehovah the Old Testament, Jesus of the New. I'm going to have to come to close. I'm not finished, but I'm going to come to close. Before the law, God gave to the fathers particular revelations. We know that. Ever before the law came. You know the law came in by Moses? How many knows that?
Amen.
But God's people still survived before it.
Amen.
Enoch walked with God. That's ever before the law. You see? God always had a way to do things. God speak. Now I'm going to close. I'm going to close because I don't want to take the time up. But what the rest of the different things are. No, the down is God speak by a voice. Audibly. God speak by an angel. And God speak in dreams. But all God. And you can study it in your Bible at home. You look through it yourself and you'll see that God speak by a audible voice. God speak to Moses. He wasn't dreaming. He was there. But then there's other times when somebody was dreaming and God spoke to them in a dream.
Amen.
Still God. But God speak. But in these last days he's spoken unto us by his Son.
Amen.
And then he says, ye shall know the truth. And the truth will make you free. Aren't you glad that God spake?
Amen.
Now you folly, you know the real sheep of God. Sometimes people get worried. You know, if somebody preaches something in the church, or if somebody comes in and preaches something, boy, it'll wreck the place, it'll wipe everybody out. I don't believe that. Do you know why I don't believe that? Because Jesus says, my sheep will hear my voice, and a stranger that won't follow. Not that saying we're going to go for everything. We're not. Understand what I'm saying. How many can say you've heard things, you knew it wasn't right? You didn't receive it. There was something within you. You knew it wasn't right. If it doesn't line up with the word. Amen. If you know it when it's God and when it's not. Praise God. Let us come and pray tonight. Heavenly Father, I just thank and praise you for your precious word. Father, I do earnestly pray you will speak to every one of us. Speak to us in the night watches. Speak to us in the dead time. Lead us, Lord, and give us a hunger to read the word of God and to pray and seek your face. Father, speak to your people. Lead your people. Guide your people. For Lord, your servant said that you're able to keep which we have committed unto you. Against that day, the only true wise Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. So, Father, we just worship you tonight. We praise you tonight. We thank you for your precious word. And I pray, Lord, that you'll just give to the people what's from you tonight. Let everything else fall away. But only your word remain. For, Lord, you said the heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall not. Not one jot or tittle shall all be fulfilled. Lord, we believe you're coming again soon. Help us, Lord, to be men and women ready for the coming of the Lord. Fill us with your Spirit. Give us that special power of God. Help us to win others. Help us to be a testimony. That when people are with us, they'll say there's something different. May they see you. And you only, we pray. Sanctify us tonight, Lord. Wash every one of us in your precious blood afresh. And sanctify us. And fill us again with the Holy Ghost, I pray. In the lovely name of Jesus Christ, I ask these things. Amen. Amen. I'm not going to take time up with these announcements tonight. Just let us come and pray. And the Lord bless each one.